Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Matt. If you're joining us for the first time, once again, welcome to Gateway City Church. And thank you, band, for leading us in worship. That was incredible. It was encouraging. I wish all of you who are at home could be here in the building with us as we're worshiping, but we pray that the Spirit of God is right there in your house, wherever you're at right now, that he's speaking to you, that he's ministering to you. Today, Sunday after Easter, we're starting a new series. It's called Confronting Christianity. Confronting Christianity. You know, for really from the start of the Christian faith 2,000 years ago up until now, there's always been serious questions that have been pointed at the Christian faith. There have been those that have confronted Christianity with difficult questions and serious thoughts and things that in reality, as Christians, as believers, they need to be thinking about and being able to answer. Maybe you today, you're listening, whether you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, or maybe you're someone who's just seeking, you're curious, you would have questions in regards to the Christian faith. Today, as we kick off this series, Confronting Christianity, the topic that we're going to be hitting today is, aren't we better off without religion? Aren't we better off without religion? I think that is a question that's probably more relevant today, especially in the last century of humankind than ever before. And I think that a lot of people are asking that question. Aren't we just better off if we can just push aside Christianity or religion in general? Isn't it a little bit archaic? As we go along, as science progresses, as our education progresses, wouldn't it just be better for us to shake off the chains of religion? As we dive in, I think we have to some degree, define what we mean by religion, because I think for a lot of people, religion can mean a lot of different things. Maybe even in your mind right now, when I say religion, something is popping into your mind. And so I'm just going to do a quick definition for us today in terms of how we are going to look at it. The word religion actually comes from the Latin word religare, which means to bind. It's that aspect of binding something or someone. And in regards to religion within our context, it's this idea of binding traditions and practices and beliefs. Something that you believe with a group of people that binds you together. You have common beliefs and practices and traditions. So in this instance, we'll be referring to this as our belief and trust in God. Religion can mean a lot of things, but today we're gonna be hitting it in regards to our belief and our trust in God and how we live that out in community in a way that binds us. So aren't we better off without it? Back in 2017, March 5th, there was a young couple living in Oregon. Their names were Sarah and Travis Mitchell. And Sarah that day, in the comforts of her own home, gave birth to two little girls. They were two twin girls. The only problem that day is that they were born 32 weeks premature. These two little girls needed medical attention for them to be able to survive. But the reality is that none was given that day. Hours later, one of the girls passed away in the arms of her mother because she wasn't given any medical attention. It shouldn't have happened this way, but this young couple was a part of a church that did not believe in modern-day science. They believed that modern medicine was not of God, and that if God was going to allow that little girl to survive, then he would intervene because he is the ultimate healer. This mother, Sarah, never took advantage of prenatal checkups. She never had an ultrasound. She had no idea she was actually pregnant with twins until she gave birth. And she had no idea that these little twins were at risk. You know, this was not an abnormal experience for the people of this church. In fact, there's many people who believe in God today that would be a part of different religious sects that might believe something similar. This church that was down in Oregon, they had their own cemetery, and unfortunately, it was filled with little children that had died prematurely because of their rejection of modern-day medicine. When we hear stories like this, I don't know about you, but it causes you maybe to be upset. And there's people in the world today that would point at a story like this and say, see, we, you know, religion is just something that is holding us back. We need to throw off the chains of religion and be more modern. Aren't we better off without religion? In 1971, there was a famous singer you are probably aware of. His name was John Lennon. He was the lead singer of the famous band The Beatles. And he wrote a song called Imagine. It's a song that's even famous today, a song that has been sung around the world. And in that song, Imagine, John Lennon looked towards a world where he says there's no heaven and there's no hell. He talked about imagining a people that live just for today. Not a world that is to come, not for heaven, but just for today. He imagined a world where there was no countries, nothing to kill for, nothing to die for. He dreamed of a world where there was no religion. And he imagined a people living in peace. See, in John Lennon's mind, the problems that he saw in the world, the wars that we see in the world, and during that time, they were still battling the Vietnam War when he wrote this song. For John Lennon, he imagined a world where it would just be a much better place if we can forget about those aspects of heaven and hell, forget about religion altogether, that this world would just be a better place. And within his mind, and a question that has popped up oftentimes over the last decades is, isn't religion the cause of most of the wars that we experience today, that people go to war, jihadists go and they kill others because of their religious beliefs? At the time when John Lennon was penning this song, sociologists of religion at that time were looking at global modernization. And they looked at that and they predicted that as we become more modern, that we will also become more secularized, separate from religion. As we become more educated, more advanced, and more scientific, then religion would retreat and eventually fade away. And maybe you're listening today and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. It's probably where we're heading. But the reality is that as the decades have progressed, this hypothesis has actually proved to not be true. It's proved to be false. Yes, in the Western world where we live today in Canada, religion has shrunk in general. But stats show that on a global basis, that overall religion continues to grow in the world that we live in today. Modern day sociologists are now predicting by the year 2060, that's less than 40 years from where we're at today, that Christianity will be the dominant belief system of the world. Notice I say belief system, not religion. Islam is projected to continue to grow. And they say from the way things are going that Hinduism will shrink, Buddhism will shrink as well. They're saying that modern sociologists, when they look to the future, they're actually seeing that those who would consider themselves atheists or agnostics are actually going to continue to shrink from 16% of the world's population to 13%. And so sociologists decades ago looked towards the future, and what they saw is as our technology grew, that our belief in God would slowly dissipate. But it's interesting to see that that's actually not the case. In fact, there's a growing body of research that shows that that religion actually has some benefits that we never thought possible. Christianity is also expanding within modern-day atheistic China. We would never realize that from what we see on the news and how China is progressing, but sociologists are predicting that by the year 2050, that's less than 30 years from where we're at today, that Christianity will be the dominant belief system of the people of China. It's fascinating. So the question is religion the cause of most of the wars? I just asked that question a little bit prior when I talked about John Lennon. There was these fellows, Charles Phillips and Alan Axelrod, that published a book called The Encyclopedia of Wars. And they studied all the wars that we have in recorded history. And they had a list of 1,763 wars. And of those wars, only 123 of them were classified as being religion as the cause of those wars. That's less than 7% of all world wars that they classified within this book. Is there something else at play? Is religion and our belief systems the cause of our discontent? Is it the cause of our wars? Is it the cause of us fighting with one another? Or is there something else at play? Is there something else that's prodding us towards self-destruction that's not connected to our religious beliefs? Doctor and researcher Tyler VanderWiel, he's a professor from Harvard University, and he's done 20 years of research in regards to people's religious beliefs and practices. And in his research within the secular university, he found that attending religious services brings about better physical and mental health. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, notice that I said attending religious services. So this isn't connected to just what you believe in your head, but there's actually a physical outworking of what you do. Now, obviously, you know as well as I do that just going to church isn't always the best indicator of whether or not you are truly living out your faith. But obviously, in these studies, he had to find something to show the difference that things are making. And for people who went to church, that at least shows there's a value there. There's something that they believe in, something that they value. They're willing to take time out of their week to attend a religious service. In fact, his study showed that those who attend a religious service at least once a week, it reduced their mortality by 20 to 30% over a 15-year period. So basically what his study was showing is that if you went to a religious service, let's say if you're going to church, that it improved your mental, it improved your physical health, and it reduced your mortality. You lived longer. Now, I know maybe what you're thinking at home today, you're thinking, well, I can't even go to church. We are locked down during this period of COVID-19. Churches aren't even allowed to be entered into on Sunday morning, and our government continues to push against that. But we're seeing within our culture today the need more and more for us to gather, don't we? We see it in the mental and physical health of the average everyday person on the street, that we have pushed the idea of God and we pushed the idea of religion aside, and yet it's affecting us negatively, maybe even more negatively than COVID-19. The study that Tyler VanderWiel did at the University of Harvard showed this, that attending religious services has shown that there's a greater likelihood of a stable marriage. It showed that it elevated one's sense of meaning and purpose, that those who attended religious services led to greater charitable giving, and that those who were a part of a religious community and attended religious services were more involved in their community. They were more involved in volunteering and civic engagement. All of these things are things that we value within our culture, but we probably don't connect it necessarily to faith or to religion. Obviously, this is the upside of faith. This is the upside of religion. We don't have to look very far to see the negative aspects, do we? Just like that story I told about those two little twin girls earlier. Faith over the centuries has been abused. And we see the negative aspects or the negative outplayings of religious faith as well as the positive ones. This is where solid teaching and practice is so incredibly important. It's not so much about having a faith or having a religious practice, but what you are basing it on and in. Today, I'm going to go over some benefits of the studies of faith. The reality is it doesn't prove Christianity to be true, but that's not the question that I'm asking today. The question isn't, is Christianity true? But the question is, does it have benefits to our lives? Are we better off without religion? And so let's test some of these biblical principles that we see specifically in the Bible, if we're better off without it or not. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts 20, verse 35. There's a short verse, and it says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We see this all through the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus, as well as his disciples, this belief and this idea of giving. That we need to be giving sacrificially, that we need to be thinking of others before ourselves. Is this true? Is there benefit to this? Is it more blessed to give than to receive? Well, there's a growing body of research that shows that giving is actually good for you. Giving is good for you. Within our culture today, we talk a lot about saving. Make sure you save for your retirement. Make sure you manage your wealth, your money wisely. What we don't talk a lot about is the benefit of giving. But studies continue to show that whether it's giving of your finances or giving of your time, your energies, and volunteering, that it has a positive impact upon your mental and physical health. A person doesn't have to be a Christian, though, to be able to give, to be able to volunteer. There's a lot of people within our society today, maybe that don't have a religious belief, that give of themselves, that volunteer. Well, there's an atheist social psychologist. His name is Jonathan Haidt. And he says this. This is coming from someone who has no religious faith. He says, surveys have long shown that believers, referring to religious belief, are happier, they're healthier, they live longer, and are more generous than those that are without faith. Studies show that those who attend church on a regular basis actually give 3.5 times more to charity than those who don't. Think about that for a minute. Where does our charitable giving come from within Canada? This is not my opinion. This is what studies show, that those who go to church give 3.5 times more. There's something of the impact of the Bible and the belief in giving that impacts how we live. If there isn't a religion or a belief in God that binds us together, a belief that God is going to bless us, that he wants us to live in this way, we're more likely than not to just protect ourselves, to do what's best for me. It's the survival of the fittest. There's another question that we could ask. Can God fulfill more than money? Can God bring more meaning into our lives than money and wealth? And I think even though those of you who are watching today would probably agree, hey, we all know that money doesn't bring happiness. It's funny because we don't live that way, do we? in reality, we live in such a way that we do show that our belief is that the more that we can get, whether it's stuff or money, that it's going to bring about happiness or a sense of well-being. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness." This is coming straight out of the Bible. Isn't that true, though? Those who love money will never have enough. Studies show that the more you get, the more you want. The more you get, the more you spend, the more that you need. And it never ends up being enough. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, "Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." It's interesting. Be satisfied with what you have. This so goes against our consumeristic culture, doesn't it? If we're totally content with what we have, our economic system would almost collapse in some ways, wouldn't it? But the scriptures are telling us that, like, you can chase after those things and you're not going to end up being satisfied. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says at the end that God is always going to be there. He's never going to abandon you. Ultimately, from a Christian or faith perspective, there's a belief that true happiness isn't really going to come from our wealth and our things. It's going to come out of relationships. It's going to come out of our relationship with God, and it's going to come out of our relationship with one another. During this time of COVID-19, I think we're feeling and experiencing that more than ever. That we realize, man, we can renovate our houses as much as we want. We can get all the toys that we want. There's a huge demand for all those toys in our society today, but what we really truly desire is relationship. We desire to connect with one another. And there's so much of a greater connection when it is with our Heavenly Father, when it is with God. There's this report that comes out every year. It's called the World Happiness Report. It's a study. And the guy who heads that up is a guy by the name of Jeffrey Sachs. In 2018, in his World Happiness Report, it recorded this, that income per capita has more than doubled since 1972, which basically says that we are getting wealthier. We're getting more and more wealthy. Our income has doubled. But it also says that our happiness has remained unchanged or has dipped below what it used to be. So studies show that we're getting wealthier here in the Western world, but we're not getting happier. Are we better off without religion? I said earlier that the West is moving away, has moved away slightly from faith, but the rest of the world, South America, Asia, Africa, continues to grow in their belief systems. And oftentimes it's those places that have less, they have less wealth and more faith, and they're happier. Are we better off without religion? I'll ask another question. Is work more than just survival? When it comes to the work that we do, we strive, especially within our culture today, to have more and more leisure time. We want to work less and less, and we want to have more and more leisure. And there is a sense that we're going to have more well-being with more leisure, that we're going to be happier, that we're going to be better off with less work and more leisure. But is that the case? Are we better off, or are we not seeing it correctly? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Colossae. It says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." See, when it comes to our work, oftentimes it's just something that we have to do to be able to get what we want. I need to work so I can have vacation. I need to work so I can put food on the table. It's a necessary evil that I must do. But the scriptures show us, and it encourages us, man, there's something greater at play when we work. That God's actually created us for work. He's created us to do good works. And that what when you work, whether it's, you know, picking up the garbage as a garbage man or teaching at school or whatever your job is, that if you're doing it as unto the Lord, if you're doing it as if you're doing it for God, it actually changes everything. It changes everything. Research shows that we need meaningful work to thrive. That all of us need meaningful work to have a sense of well-being. If we work just for money, it shows that it ends up ultimately being unsatisfying. If we put our heart into what we do, and if it resonates with our values, we experience joy. There was a study done in hospitals where they looked at those who were doing the janitorial positions in a hospital. Those who were cleaning up, taking out the garbage, those who were cleaning the floors, potentially even those that were maybe cleaning the bedpans, doing the stuff that oftentimes we wouldn't consider to be very joyful or meaningful. And of the studies of all these hospitals across the United States, those that saw themselves as being a part of a team, those that saw themselves as impacting lives. So even as a janitor, they saw themselves as doing something that's going to impact lives. They did it with excellence. They did their job with excellence. And they found joy and meaning in it. This was far different from those that did it just for a paycheck. In this study, they just found there was a huge difference for those who showed up to work. They just did it for a paycheck as to those who did it and saw their job had meaning and purpose. When we see that the work that we do has greater impact than just me receiving a paycheck, but ultimately that we're doing it for God, it changes everything. Another thing that pops up in the Bible, that pops up in at least the Christian religious belief, is this idea of forgiveness. Is forgiveness necessary? Is it necessary? Is it necessary for our well-being? We see in Matthew chapter 18, there's this conversation between Jesus and Peter. And it says, then Peter came to him, referring to Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. We see this as a theme throughout the Christian scriptures. We see this as a theme in Jesus preaching and teaching, as well as from his disciples, this aspect of forgiveness, this need for forgiveness. Jesus grounded this idea of us needing to forgive because ultimately God first forgave us. That is who God is. And then when we forgive, we're imitating our Heavenly Father. It says that even while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us for the forgiveness of our sins. So in turn, if that is what Jesus has done for us, that even while we're still sinners, that he died for us, that we have no reason not to forgive others. God commands us to forgive because that's who he is, but he also knows that's what we need. He knows that that is what's best for us. If you go to the Mayo Clinic website, now the Mayo Clinic is a nonprofit academic medical center that's focused on integrated healthcare, education, and research. It's funny because they talk about this aspect of forgiveness right on their website. And it talks about the benefits of forgiveness, that if you are sick, that this is something that you need to consider in your life for you to become healthy and whole. And it says the benefits of forgiving someone are healthier relationships, improved mental health, less anxiety, stress, and hostility. They talk about lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, stronger immune system, improved health of your heart, and improved self-esteem. That's crazy. That's such a long list. This is coming from a secular source, and it's saying everything that God, through the Bible, has been telling us for thousands of years. Something that God's been telling us from the beginning, saying, I need you to trust me. This is good for you. This is what you need to do. This is who I am, and this is what I want you to be. Are we better off without religion? What about those kids that I talked about earlier? Those two little babies that were born premature, whose parents didn't see the need to take them to the hospital. Wouldn't they have been better off if their parents weren't religious? There's a fellow by the name of Paul Offit, and he wrote a book several years ago called Bad Faith, When Religious Belief Undermines Modern Medicine. And his studies and his belief, as Paul being an atheist, was that religion is bad for modern medicine, that it just gets in the way, and that if we could push religion aside, that we would be better off as people and medically. And, you know, he was researching the history of Christianity to prove his point as an atheist believer. And as he read the Bible and explored the history of medicine, his mind was actually changed in the process. Offit said that Jesus' advocacy on behalf of children who are treated as property in the ancient Greco-Roman context of 2,000 years ago, as he was reading about that in the Bible, it moved him to tears, especially knowing how babies and children were treated in the ancient world. Offit referred to Christianity as the single greatest breakthrough against child abuse in history. The single greatest breakthrough. Now, this sticks out to us today because we have a long history over the last several decades where we hear these stories of children being sexually abused and by Catholic priests and pastors, and we all know about those stories, and that taints our view of the efficacy of religion or even faith in God. But as this atheist doctor and researcher looked into it, he was like, man, this Christian belief 2,000 years ago changed the world. Offit highlights and praises the Christian tradition of caring for the sick and the vulnerable. He notes, for example, that the first Christian emperor, Constantine, in Rome, he outlawed infanticide in 315 AD. See, the Roman world at that time, you know, babies and children that were born weren't considered to be human yet until they could do something that was valuable. And so oftentimes babies were born and they were put in the garbage dump, or they were left out to die because they had no value. And it was the first Christian emperor, Constantine, who I would admit probably did a lot of things wrong, but he was the first one to outlaw infanticide, the killing of those babies that were left out in garbage dumps. And he was the first person in 321 to create a welfare system for families that were in poverty so they didn't have to sell their children just so they could feed themselves. When we confront Christianity and ask the question, are we better off without it? I guess we need to be asking the question, exactly what are we getting rid of? Are we better off without it? What are we getting rid of? The new atheists of our day that have written lots of books in the last 20 years, those like Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, would tell us that we're much better off without any kind of belief or practice in God. But it seems as we study this and we dive deeper into this, that actually is not the case. The facts don't line up with those statements. Now, as I said earlier, none of this proves that Christianity is true. That's not the point of this. We're asking the question, are we better off without it? And I think this is so relevant to where we are right now in 2021. As our religious beliefs are pushed aside and marginalized within our culture today. Because the studies and the answers continue to come back that there is a resounding no. We are not better off without religion. Obviously, there is healthy and there's unhealthy forms of how we live out our belief, how we live out our faith. And there's lots of examples of unhealthy forms that are out there. But ultimately, I think we need to be asking the question, are we better off without God? Maybe I need to ask you this morning, because I think this goes even deeper than are we better off without God. Are we better off without religious community? Are we better off without the church? Because more and more people are saying, you know, I'm spiritual, or maybe even I'm religious, but this is my own separate thing. I'm doing this on my own. We do find, though, that in the Bible, that just is not the case, that faith was always meant to be lived out in community. And the more that we're separated from one another, the more that we're doing this on our own, by ourselves, in our own homes, and not interacting with other people of like faith, without other believers, I know you're feeling it. I know I'm feeling it. We are not better off. We're not better off without each other. We need each other. We need community. We need to be doing this together. Next week, we're going to be diving into the topic of, can science and Christianity coexist? But before we sign off, before I hand it over to Pastor Phil for some announcements, let's just close in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask this question today, are we better off without religion? But ultimately, we need to be asking ourselves, are we better off without you? And are we better off without each other? And Lord, I believe with all of my heart that that is a hard no. Lord, more than ever, we need you. More than ever, we need each other. So Jesus, I pray that no matter who is listening today, I pray, dear Lord, that we would invite you back into our lives. Not just in a personal sense, but Lord, I pray that we would be more motivated than ever before to live this out in community. That we would spur one another on towards love and good works. In Jesus' name, amen.